Janet Johnson. The court ruled 5-4 in this decision with a scathing dissent from Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. For those that didn't follow this closely, what are the nuts and bolts of the decision?
Right. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, along with all the other women on the court, which I thought was interesting that, of course, they were all in the dissent. Hobby Lobby objected to providing 4 kinds of birth control via insurance, not directly, but to covering that, which was one of the provisions under the Affordable Care Act, that women's birth control would be covered. They objected to it. They went to court. And the Supreme Court said yesterday that even though they're a privately held for-profit corporation, they could, under some conscientious objection, say, we will not cover this kind of contraception, and they could opt out. Justice Alito said, yes, you can, which was an unprecedented way to go, to say a for-profit company has a religious belief. Normally, that would just be a company that is a charitable company.
Tony Kolenk, how sweeping do you see this decision to be? Those in favor of it call it a narrow decision. Opponents say it's a decision of startling breadth.
Well, the reality is that the court could have done a lot more with this if they really wanted to. They ruled about as narrowly as they could and still rule for Hobby Lobby. It is a fairly significant decision, though, because for the first time they are recognizing religious rights for corporations, which follows in the footsteps of the Citizens United case a few years ago, giving them free political speech rights.
Let us know your thoughts on the Supreme Court's ruling yesterday on Hobby Lobby, giving Hobby Lobby and other corporations the right to opt out of providing contraceptive coverage to their employees. And Janet, Tony said that this is a first of its kind ruling from the High Court, saying that that companies have the right to state their religious beliefs.
Right. Right. And he also, you know, it is narrow, but this seems to be the modus operandi of the Roberts Supreme Court. The Chief Justice Roberts Supreme Court tends to initially carve out what looks like a very narrow exception. And then the next step is to say, well, based on the precedent in that exception, we now think companies don't have to do even more. And I think both of the decisions yesterday, the union decision and this decision, were just a foot in the door to say, oh, well, we're only saying in this case it applies to contraception. But how does this court, when a Jehovah's Witness-owned company comes before them and says, we don't want to pay for blood transfusion. How does this court say, in the case of contraception, it's okay, but in the case of blood transfusions, it's not? I don't think they do.
Tony Kolenk, could this have ramifications beyond the realm of contraception?
I think it's possible, but Justice Alito, who wrote the majority opinion, went out of his way, bent over backwards, really, to try to give all the signals that the court would not be particularly receptive to those kinds of arguments. He specifically pointed out the exact objection that Janet just talked about and said those would be different cases, that the government would have different interests involved. They might have different alternatives or lack of alternatives, as opposed to what the Obama administration did here, which was they had already carved out an alternative and offered it to nonprofits. So they made it easy for the court to say, look, you guys already have an alternative, so use it. And it could be a very different case with the blood transfusion cases.
Although Justice Ginsburg, in her dissent, which was scathing, said, if we're going to be weighing the credibility of different religions or ranking our preference, that's exactly what the Constitution tells us not to do as a government. And that is a very dangerous area for the government to get into.
Lots of calls. By the way, all our calls so far are from women. Sort of a reversal from this program in which the majority of our callers day-to-day tend to be men. Interesting, isn't that? But we want calls from men and women right now on the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision. We'll go to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937. Janet Johnson, early polling on this already shows men and women view this decision differently. Some political pundits say they think that a national debate over women's reproductive health could flare up again in the run-up to the fall midterm elections. Advocates say they're going to force House and Senate candidates to take a stand on whether they support or oppose this decision. How do you see the politics of this playing out?
Yeah, you know, and I think obviously the court was divided along lines of gender. And I do think that, and the New York Times had a story about this today, this is a fundraising issue. I mean, people are already saying, do you want a Supreme Court with these types of members on it? These are George W. Bush appointees to a large extent who are making these determinations. Or do you want your right rights protected. Justice Ginsburg, you know, I thought it was a very compelling argument, and I am a woman, and maybe I read it that way. But we're starting to talk about not all forms of birth control, but I personally think that the science wasn't on the side of Hobby Lobby, and I think that comes down to a discussion with your doctor.
Let's talk about that, Tony. Hobby Lobby objected to certain types of contraception, such as an IUD, for example. They're saying that they see certain types of contraception as abortifacients. Those on the other side say, well, those claims have been debunked. What about that aspect?
Honestly, I don't think that there's a lot of debate on the science here. There are clearly cases with those types of contraceptives where, because of the hardening of the mother's uterine wall, you're going to have conceived embryos that cannot attach, and that therefore, after they're already conceived, in fact, you have the child basically miscarry, which for some religious individuals, they would view that as the equivalent of an abortion. Now, you might quibble with whether there's life at that point, whether you really want to call it an abortion versus a miscarriage, but I think the science is fairly straightforward. Now, that's not going to happen all the time, but there are going to be times where that does happen. And the two families in this case have very strong opposition to any type of abortion. And pretty much
right.
The Obama administration was telling them, whether you like it or not, you've got to pay for these
But it's
rights.
Not an abortion. I mean, and that's what as a woman, it's frustrating to hear men, and the majority of us men, and Tony, you're a man, say that an egg is a baby, and an egg that isn't attached to a uterus is a viable fetus. I don't think the science is on their side, and the decision in part quoted WebMD. I take exception to that. I think it's junk science, quite frankly, and I don't want the Supreme Court endorsing it.
Well, lots of calls meanwhile. In fact, the lines are jammed, as we discuss the Hobby Lobby decision. It is the top trending topic again this morning on Twitter. Quite the talker today. Let's go to your calls. 549-2937. Margaret in San Marco. Hey, Margaret. Thanks for holding. You are first up. Go ahead, Margaret.
All right. Thank you. I'm delighted with the decision. I think it's a victory for individual religious freedom. So often the courts have decided that religion belongs in churches and that people are free to worship in their own churches and to hold whatever doctrinal beliefs they want to hold. But in the public square, everything has to be equal, and it's essentially some rulings in the past have been more in favor of non-religion than of real religious freedom, and I think this is reversing that. I think it's largely supporting the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was signed by President Bill Clinton.
That's Margaret in San Marco. Thanks for the call, Margaret. Tony.
Yeah, there's a woman. the point, I guess, as a law professor, when I look at this, it is a little frustrating to see the political football that this is going to take on an election year. And I think the decision is important. I think it raises important issues, like Margaret just pointed out. But to see it, spun by the different sides, I think, is a little unfortunate just from a legal perspective.
Janet. Well, wouldn't, and Margaret, you know, I respect your point, but wouldn't that logically mean that you don't have to take this kind of birth control if you object to it? I don't think imposing it on your workers is religious freedom. I think it's the opposite.
Barbara in Mayport. Hey, Barbara, good morning to you. Barbara, go ahead.
Good morning. I want to make a point and I want to ask a question. As you probably are aware, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dissenting opinion is probably going to catapult her into a cult figure. There are already T-shirts out there that say the notorious RBG, and then there's one that says Ruth Bad A Ginsburg. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the A word.
we get where you're going. Yeah.
Right. But here's my question. Is a meme floating around Facebook that says this Supreme Court has decided more decisions in favor of corporations than previous Supreme Courts? I know you don't have a constitutional lawyer on your panel today, but I would love to know.
Well, we have a professor. We do have a professor, yes, who teaches con law. So, yes, we do.
Yes, yeah, so I would love to know, is this true or is this just
sure? And you're getting at the larger trend of rulings, Barbara. That under Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, have gone more in favor of large companies. I think I know where you're going with that. So, Tony Kolenc, what about that?
No, I think there is some truth to that. I mean, just the Citizens United case in 2010 was a huge boon for corporations under the First Amendment. I do think it's interesting that Justice Breyer and Justice Kagan, two of the liberals who dissented, did not sign on to Justice Ginsburg's opinion with regard to corporations. They did not want to make a stand on whether or not corporations should have these rights. And actually, Justice Breyer, during the oral argument, had asked some questions that made you wonder whether he thinks maybe they do have those rights.
Lots of feedback, meanwhile, on social media. Here's a listener emailing the show. I'm disheartened by the decision. It's not as bad as, say, the Dred Scott decisions, but it seems that women have no rights that the Supreme Court is bound to respect. Trisha tweets the show, soon a business will have a religious objection to the minimum wage. What then? A tweet from another listener named Aaron. Your male expert is biased. IUDs are safe and reliable birth control. It is neither an abortion nor a miscarriage. Julie tweets the show, the difference in a case about transfusion would be the compelling interest of the state under RFRA, the Sherbert test. And we can get into that in a minute. On Facebook, Dan writes the show, I don't love the idea of my employer determining my coverage based on religious principles. However, it's not restricting actual treatment, just which treatments are covered under insurance. Then again, most companies' insurance sucks now anyway, says Dan, and hardly covers anything. So lots of cynicism out there and lots of opinions. We want to get as many of your calls on the air as possible. Let's go to Will. He's on the road to Middleburg. Will, good morning, Will. Go ahead.
Good morning. It's been a long time since I've had a chance to call in. First of all, the way I understand it, contraceptives are the prevention of a viable, child type, person.
The prevention of pregnancy.
Not that they're, giving birth control to some, or, that they're not throwing away a child that already exists, but they're preventing it from being created. That being said, I've always been a supporter of, women's rights in that respect. And to allow religion into it, I'm sorry, there was a time I thought about being a priest. Forget it. I think religion has gone way overboard. And a lot of what our first caller, Margaret, said holds a lot of water. And people should start thinking about, their individual rights as people and not their rights as a religion.
That's Will in Middleburg, disagreeing with the first caller. So just judging by the feedback we're getting, Tony and Janet, this is a deeply divisive decision.
It is. And that's why I think ultimately what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said is it's a personal decision. And, one of the callers said, well, they're not denying it altogether. But her point was the cost of an IUD is nearly equivalent, she said, to a month's full-time pay for a worker earning the minimum wage. So if it isn't covered by insurance, it is essentially potentially a denial of that treatment or that coverage.
Tony Kolenc.
The caller's discussion about contraceptives and also the person online who said that I was biased. I'm not trying to say that contraceptives don't do their jobs or that IUDs are not reliable birth control methods or that they mostly operate to prevent births. What the court was recognizing is that especially a certain class of contraceptives, like the morning after pill, Plan B, that type of thing, the way they operate sometimes will in fact not prevent the pregnancy, but will in fact, after the pregnancy has already occurred and there's a conception, will then cause there to be basically a miscarriage because the embryo cannot implant on the mother's uterine wall.
Well, if you consider fertilization of an egg a pregnancy.
Which is a religious issue.
Right, and not a medical issue, and we're talking health insurance.
Lots of calls. Thanks, everyone, for your patience as we try to get you on the air. Danica in Mandarin joins us now. Hello, Danica. What are your thoughts?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am pleased with the decision myself. My understanding is that Hobby Lobby cannot prevent their employees from procuring and using those types of contraception, those abortifacients properties, which they don't agree with, nor could they discriminate against their employees and, you know, fire them, of course, for the decisions they make in their private life. Which leads me to the question, why should a corporation pay for somebody's sex life, aside from things that would be used medicinally, of course. But from my understanding of these particular methods of birth control that could act as abortifacients, there are alternatives for women with things like...
And Danica...
Barrier syndrome.
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting because half the callers agree with you and half disagree. The one thing I would say, though, and I want to get our panelists' thoughts about this, is that Hobby Lobby is paying for... its male employees' sex lives. Well, and they are continuing to cover Viagra.
Right, and not only that, but if you're pregnant, Danica, they would pay for the delivery, which is paying for your sex life in a much more expensive manner.
Go ahead, Danica.
With Viagra, I wouldn't consider that birth control by any means. Maybe even just the opposite. And it's fixing something that is broken. Where birth control, sorry, that's my toddler in the background. Whereas birth control is thwarting a process. Usually that works very well, and there's doctors don't prescribe things that break something that was already working. Only birth control is like that. It's very strange to me, but thank you for
thank you, Danica.
Call.
Thanks for the call. Lori on the West Side. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi. I just want to say, number one, Viagra isn't about birth control. And my question was,
not.
We all agree on that.
Okay. And secondly, is that when the Supreme Court ruled, did they also rule that companies that cover vasectomies or prophylactics, is that against the law now, too, if they don't want to do it?
Thanks for the question, Lori, on the West Side. Tony.
Well, it depends on the objection. I mean, in this case, the two companies objected to four specific types of contraceptives. But it could be, for instance, Catholics, at least the Catholic Church's teaching, is against all contraception. So you can imagine there are companies out there that might object to even prophylactics and that they would have a viable argument even under this decision.
Which we call a slippery slope in the law. But interestingly, most of the Catholic organizations that were surveyed after the ACA had this mandate, you know, Georgetown, for instance, apparently has covered these things. I mean, this wasn't that controversial until Hobby Lobby raised this objection. But it gets to what Ginsburg said was basically the government approving some religious claims, deeming others unworthy of accommodation.
And so many callers, we appreciate everybody's patience. Let's go now to David on the South Side. Go ahead, David.
Yes. I have a pretty simple opinion. I guess it's just mainly I don't see why a health insurance should be covering somebody's, I guess, sex life, as a previous caller recently said. I think health insurance, intrinsically, in my opinion, would be cover people's well-being and, like, their healthiness of their body. I think that's an unalienable right. But I don't really necessarily believe that the freedom to have sex and or have a kid is necessarily an unalienable right.
Well, David,
it's more like a privilege of being alive.
David, do you think if a woman gets pregnant, her health insurance should cover her obstetric care and her the birth of the child? Should that be covered?
That
so what's the difference?
I think that's a little bit different than actually having sex.
You know what it,
the child.
It's more expensive.
It's a little bit more dangerous.
Well, yeah.
David, thanks for the call. Tony, those that agree with David define it that way. Those opposed to the decision say reproductive health is part of overall health. And family planning is part of overall health and wellness.
Right. And I think that issue's already been pretty much dealt with, and people generally accept that it is. But what's an interesting point, which I haven't heard broadcast much, is under the Obamacare mandate, already there were like almost 100 million people who would normally be eligible for this type of health care who were exempted by the administration. So I think what the court was looking at, and they actually referred to that, saying, hey, look, you know, we're going to have some more exemptions here, but it's not like the administration hasn't already exempted tens of millions of people.
And this decision really is brushing back, Janet, the broad sweep of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, right, but the court also said, well, then the government can pay for it if private employers don't want to, which I would think that people would be even more up in arms saying, so my taxpayer dollars are going to pay for more things. I would think that's a less popular, position to take. In the end, the administration isn't going to let this contraception go uncovered, and people will get covered.
Terry in Riverside is holding. Hey, Terry, thanks for waiting. Hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to speak. I find it ironic that prior to September 2012, Hobby Lobby covered the Plan B and Ella, the products that they are currently fighting against. So where was their religion then? I think that compensation in form of benefits and dollars belong to the employee, and that the employer really has no business in what that benefit provides, as long as it doesn't cost the employer more to provide the benefit.
Thank you for the call, Terry. That's Terry over in Riverside. We got calls from across the listening area. Tony Kolink.
Yeah, no, the caller raised a very interesting point, and it is very ironic that a lot of these religious companies or families didn't even realize what they were covering until Obama brought it up, and then they looked in their own policies, like in this case, and said, holy moly, we're actually covering something that we object to. Let's get rid of that. So it's kind of an irony.
And here's an email from a listener named Dawn. What if there are some employees that depend on these types of medications to help with issues aside from pregnancy? They have just eliminated the assistance of, for example, potentially preventing uterine cancer and other issues.
Right. Well, and the morning after pill, which can be used as in a rape response. But, ultimately, Hobby Lobby apparently was invested, and this is something that was revealed in this entire process, in companies that manufacture these pills and create abortion products, apparently. I mean, that this
really?
Yes, that there was a hypocrisy that was a little bit stunning to say we can profit, but we don't want to pay for our employers.
Vicky on the South Side. Go ahead, Vicky.
Hi, I appreciate the time to be able to make my comments. I just find this whole decision to be a slippery slope. What is to prevent? I mean, churches are popping up all over Jacksonville. They have all kinds of different names. What's to prevent for example, a white supremacy church from opening up and saying that they're going to start a business and call it whatever they want to call it and sell something that people want to buy? And say they're not going to serve black people because it's against their religion to serve people of a different color. They can claim religious preference now, right? What is going to prevent that?
And we're getting lots of tweets asking basically the same question. That's Vicky on the South Side. Lots of folks tweeting that they see this as a slippery slope. So, Tony, what about that?
Well, the court actually anticipated that exact objection, and Justice Alito basically immediately stymied it and said, we're not talking about racial discrimination. We would not tolerate that. And in fact, if you remember back to the 80s, Bob Jones University attempted that exact argument in the Supreme Court with regard to interracial marriage on their campus, and they lost. And that is not at all in jeopardy from this decision.
But it is a gray area, and that's what Ginsburg said is, would medication derived from pigs, including anesthesia, intravenous fluids, would that compel Muslims and Jews and Hindus to deny treatment, vaccinations, Scientologists who don't believe in antidepressants? It's a can of worms, and it's been opened.